We have the privilege of having known Anton Helen for, as Anne says, 30 years. And so I remember very fondly some of the first contacts we had back in Johannesburg. We'd planted a church about 30 kilometers east of Johannesburg, and they were in this church in the center of Joburg. And every time we got together and we had some pastors' times together, they were part of that. And my lasting impressions was Helen at the back of the room with a pram, babies. That was the season for that. And of course, Andrew with a guitar in his hand. And he would talk about this band that was called Canned Fish. Canned Fish. Have you ever heard of that? A really weird name. Anyway, that was what they called the band. But it was really funny. But it was great to have the contact with him back then. And then, of course, we heard Anton Helen are coming to England, an incredibly difficult task. They're going to plant a church. Anybody here facing impossible tasks in their lives right now? The story I want to speak about this morning speaks to every one of us who's perhaps facing an impossible task. And I know there's some impossible things that are going to come up in your future as a church as well. And he is preparing you to have the faith and the courage to tackle those things as they come up. Zerubbabel lessons is what I have called the message this morning, the Zerubbabel lessons. And there are two main texts for our message this morning, and one comes from Haggai, where I'm going to take out one lesson, and then we're going to look at a scripture from Zechariah, where we're going to get the remaining lessons that I want to share with you this morning. These words that were given to these prophets, we need to go back and actually understand what was happening at that particular moment. Perhaps we can put up a first slide there. At that moment, what was happening was that Zerubbabel had been a leader in Israel, and he was taken off to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And then later on, the king of Cyrus, many years later, says, I'm going to allow the exiled Jews to go back and return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of their God. And so Zerubbabel takes one of these groups, and he goes back, and he arrives back, and the year is 538 BC. And within 2 years, they begin to rebuild, but they have much opposition, and so they stop rebuilding, and they have a period of a pause period where nothing happens. And then God says, I'm going to stir up the people to do the work. And he stirs up the people through the prophetic voice of Haggai and the prophetic voice of Zechariah. And it's so amazing to me to hear what God announces to them to get the work done. And the lessons that we can learn from this, which are not just for the time back then, as we go through a couple of these things, we'll see these are the things that God has put in place here in the church over the last 25 years. And actually, not only that, but he's actually putting these things in place and saying to you, take these things and run with them for the next years that are still coming up. You need to take these things and you need to make them part of your heart and trust him for these things. These are the things that the prophet spoke back then. And so it's also not just true for the church, but it's also even true for you as individuals as well. And so the first thing is this morning, God graces us with his presence. God graces us with his presence. And so I'm going to read a scripture out of Haggai chapter 1. And it says there, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people, and they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. I don't know if you've read this passage before, but one of the things that amazes me here is that the prophetic word was so short. I mean, Haggai doesn't say anything else in this particular opening statement. All he says is, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And that stirs up their hearts and they begin to work. And the scripture says that they began to work on the house of the Lord in a way that they had not done before. When I listen to the testimonies, when I think of Anton Helen back then, what they knew was God is with us. God is with us. He's spoken of this region. He's spoken of Watford. And many of you that have come into the church, you've had that recognition in your own spirit, God is with us. God is with us. And He is going to be with you in a manifested way through His presence as you go forward. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand and watch in vain. And I believe the Lord is saying to you as a congregation this morning, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. You do not have to worry about the things that are going to come up in the future. You do not have to worry about the challenges that you may have. But when we know in our hearts that we are in the right place, when we know in our hearts that this is where God wants us to be, when we know in our hearts that God is with us, doesn't that speak to your heart? Doesn't it say to you, anything is possible? Anything is possible. It's been so important for us in our journey to also know that Dresden is our home. Dresden is the place that God put us. We know that that's where God's presence is for our lives. And it's important for us to hold on to that as we go forward. Then, second point comes out of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. And this is what we read. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone awaked from a sleep. And he asked me, what do you see? And I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. I asked the Lord who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And he answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, God bless it, God bless it. And then the word of the Lord came to me, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of the small things? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. Then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand? And he said, these are two olive branches beside the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil. Point number two, God's Spirit empowers the work. God's Spirit empowers the work. Now, we've been friends for the season of the life of this church, and it's incredible to think of the fact that He is the one that has enabled the leadership, enabled you to get the job done. What did Zechariah actually see? And I brought a picture with me of what he actually saw. Maybe we can go to that second. Yeah. This is an artist's impression of what Zechariah actually saw. And it's an incredible picture. It's an incredible statement of the fact that God, by God's Spirit, the work gets done. And if you look at this picture, you will see here that on the right and the left, there is olive oil dripping out of the branches. And then it's dripping into the container. And then from the container, from that bowl, it drips down onto the candles and keeps the lights burning. And so what this picture is actually saying is that no priest actually has to gather oil. No priest has to light the lamps. This light continues to illuminate. This light continues to burn without the interruption of any human hand. This is the work of God. And so when Zechariah saw this, he must have been totally shocked. And how can he understand that he has olive oil that's dripping out the branches? He had no clue what he was seeing. We ourselves look at this picture, and of course, if we think a little bit ahead and think about what could this actually mean, this is a picture actually in a broader sense of the new covenant that we are in Christ. that he's the one that has put the Holy Spirit within us. And it is an ongoing source of supernatural strength, an ongoing source of supernatural power, an ongoing source of everything that we need to be able to get the job done. And so that's why the scripture says here, not by might, nor by power, not by the hand of man, but by my spirit, says the Lord. By my spirit, says the Lord. And I know that they would say, they already said it a couple of times this morning, by the Spirit of God working through us. And you can say that as well. By the Spirit of God working here in the life of this church, we have experienced some incredible and amazing things. He has done it through you. He is the source of that supernatural that has flowed through you. So as you look back, you can see the workings. And as you look forward, you can say, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's incredible. And Helen have said now and then, hey, since the COVID time, we're totally amazed at the things that God is doing. We're totally amazed. God is doing more than what we could ever ask and imagine. It's a work of the Spirit. God has placed his Spirit. Connects in with the first point as well, that is the presence of God, and then he blesses and he takes us forward into the future that he's planned for us. A.W. Tozer said this. He says, the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God. Spirit-filled life is not a deluxe edition. It is part and parcel of the plan of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes and works through us and gets the task done. When I think of Dresden as well, I think, how do you keep the vision going over that amount of time in your hearts like they have done here? It is most amazing. The Spirit of God has done that. Not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God working through them. God changing life. God touching people's lives. God providing finances. God adding to all these things. He is the one who's done that. Hey, he's so good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Third little point. God responds to our faith. In Zechariah 4 verse 7, it says, what are you, mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. And so what Zechariah is announcing to the people back then is, I am with you. Says, well, that's how Haggai says, Zechariah says. Zechariah says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. By the Spirit, this work will be done. And then he says, this mountain will be removed. And what he's actually doing is saying, here, if you trust me, I will take this mountain and it will be removed. And so often Jesus picks up these images and texts from the prophets and gives them additional meaning. And so it seems that Jesus could have taken the words of Zechariah in mind when he spoke of removing the mountain in Matthew 21. He says, I truly tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And so what he does is he adds here, hey, the concept of faith to remove the mountain. He announces to them, I will remove the mountain. I will do it with you, but you need to exercise your faith. You know, sometimes people sit in our churches, and they're part of the church for so long, but they're not growing unless they activate that faith that God speaks into their heart. You need to activate that. And as we do that, we see God removing mountains. I remember back in 2007, we were back then part of the same network. And we had a meeting here in the UK. And Ant was talking about the fact that God had spoken about purchasing a building. Most others that had come from South Africa were saying in their hearts, hey, we'll never do this. And they feel like Ant's got this this real thing for this building. How are they ever going to get that job done? It costs way too much money from a South African perspective. And yet Ant and Helen pursued and managed to purchase this building. And then over the years, I know that it's cost them incredibly. That even in the tough times, there were moments that said, are we going to be able to pay the next installment to actually get this building paid for? Now we sit here and we're 2 or 3 years away from this mountain, the price that was paid for this building being totally removed because God has worked. God has made it possible. He has honored their faith, and he has responded to the faith of Ant and Helen and the leadership. The mountain is nearly level ground. Isn't that wonderful? Keep walking in faith, and I will remove the mountain. Martin Luther King says, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Yeah, even when that's so true. We can take that first step. We don't see the rest, but we have to move on, and we have to exercise our faith to move into all that God has planned for us. When we look back, we can see this work and the things that God has done here, they've been built by faith. God has responded to faith. And so he says, into your future, there are going to be other things that are going to be challenges. There are other challenges, faith challenges that are going to be coming, and you're going to have to respond to those as well. But exercise your faith. If he is with you, it's going to be possible. Next little lesson that we learn from Zerubbabel in this passage, God turns small beginnings into great works. Zechariah 4 verse 10 says, who dares despise the day of small things? Who dares despise the day of small things? I just love this verse. I love the verse because I love the whole principle. I love the lesson that it's teaching us, because of what it's saying is that the little things are big things in God's eyes. The little meeting, the little meeting that Ant and Helen thought they had back there, those six people and themselves in their lounge room, the man would have said, hey, that's little. But God says, that was a big step. That was a big thing. Spurgeon says, do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. The Lord rejoices when the work begins. So I want to challenge you. What about taking another step? What about you taking a small step? Sometimes we think, oh, it's just a small step. Small step of commitment, a small step in the way that we're going. But God says every little step is actually could be the start of something much, much greater. Don't despise those small things. Don't despise those small steps forward. Every single thing that happens in the life of the church, it begins with a little start. Someone did something. Someone exercised their faith. Someone started a new ministry. God loves to use those small beginnings for great purposes. And the Word of God says, Luke 16 says, he who is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. Faithful in little, and you'll be faithful in the much. And so the church here, it is an incredible thing that God has done. What is it? It is the result of many, many little steps. Many, many little steps along the way. Many different venues until you came here. What are we enjoying today? This is the result of also some alterations, some things that have been done here over the years. Many, many, many little steps get us to the goal. I have done quite a bit of running in my life, and if you run a marathon, it is a long way to go. And what is it? It is the crossing the finish line is the result of maybe certainly more than 40,000 steps to cross the finish line. Which step is the most important? They're all important, right? Every step is important. And so when you're getting towards the end and you're really, really tired, you say, what on earth am I doing this for? You say to yourself, next step. Just focus on the next step. Just get the next step. The next step will bring you forward to the thing that, to your goal. And so he gets them going and says, hey, don't despise the small things. Zechariah says to them as they're going to build the temple, they see all the things that they have to do, just start in the small. Just start today. Just start in the little, and there will be something big that will come out of that into your future. And maybe I would even be so bold to say, perhaps in your next 25 years, you will look back and say, wow, imagine how it was like back then when we had that small meeting in that hall in Forest Town for our 25th anniversary. Hey, that's possible. A little small step, this is a result of that, but this is one step towards that which God has in your future up ahead. Celebrate each little step. And then what I also love is that he never asks us to give what we don't have, to make a step and to give what's not there. What he's actually saying to every one of us is, give that bit that you've got. Give what you can, and then this whole thing will continue to power forward with his strength. The last thing I want to say is, God always finishes what he begins. And so Zechariah was able to learn that. Zechariah saw that. Zerubbabel was able to learn that through the lessons. And so he realizes later on that, and this is what the scripture says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. And so Zerubbabel has that experience. The prophetic words are spoken to him. And then, in actual fact, 4 years later, in an impossible situation, he actually gets to finish building the temple. BC 516, he finishes it 4 years later. God spoke, and he was the one that actually got to finish it. God spoke, and then he was faithful in finishing what he had started. What God has begun 25 years ago, he is sustained by his grace. Hebrews 10 says to us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let's hold to that hope. He who promised is faithful. That means that whatever is spoken to you, whatever is put into your heart, whatever is said to you, hold that, hold fast, hold that promise that he's given to you, and he will be faithful in helping you to cross the finish line. What has he said? What promises are still up ahead for the church? Well, there are many promises that haven't been fulfilled yet, but many have. And he's going to be faithful, the one who said it, to fulfill what he has spoken. Faith is an unshakable confidence that God is faithful to his promises. The unshakable confidence that God is faithful to his promises. Whatever you're trusting God for into your future, God is faithful. He's proven it already. Tozer says this, he says, God never lies and God never forgets. His promises are sure and eternal. He is faithful to every word he has spoken. Forest Town Church, there's so much more. My question to you is, are you going to complete the task that God has given to you? Comparisons don't matter. Don't look down the road. Don't look and see what any other church is doing. The point is, Forest Town Church, what does God want you to do? Shall I tell you, if you're faithful, he is already faithful. And he's going to help you to see these promises come to pass. Comparisons won't matter. Know he is with you. Know he will do it by his Spirit. Have faith in his promises. Celebrate every little step. I'd like to pray with you. Yeah. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you've done over the many, many years of 25 years that you've built this church. We can't give you thanks for your incredible blessing, because your credible hand upon the church, your faithfulness, your help in bringing them to the point that they are today. And I want to pray for this faithful people, that you will refresh them by your Spirit. I pray that they will have the experience, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. And Lord, that you will work through every one of them, that there will be an empowering of every single person who's part of this church to get the task done. I thank you for their incredible future. We thank you for this day. And Lord, I ask you now that you will be with them, that you would protect them, that you'll help them as they make the next decisions that are coming up. And Lord, that your hand will be upon them and lead them into much, much fruitfulness down the road, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.